morning, friends. We hope today finds you encouraged to live for God. It is true that as a child of God, you may be unpopular and looked upon as strange because you're not of the world. But when you are certain of that which has taken place in your life, you need not be ashamed. Listen to this verse. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Isaiah 40:8. Life's certainties and uncertainties taken together make it interesting. If there were no certainties, it would be a madhouse, and how lost we would be. But on the other hand, if there were no uncertainties, life might become monotonous. So the essential thing is to keep these two in some kind of balance. It is true that over the uncertainties, we have little control. But there are some everlastingly dependable things, eternal promises, on which we can rest with utter confidence. For one thing, I am glad God is God, and nothing which men can do will rob him of his power. There may have been a time when atheism was popular, but today those who are able to think clearly acknowledge there is a greater power than that controlled by men. Right is right and wrong is wrong regardless of what men say. It is very likely that those who will argue otherwise are inspired of the devil, who is the father of lies. Then, too, there is a strong sense of sanity, if we may call it such, in the human spirit, which rises up against such perversion of fact. And if I may go another step farther, let me say that those who are really wise will take the Sermon on the Mount as a guideline between right and wrong. Take, for instance, the diet list of today. Some writers tell us that certain things are poison to the human system. In fact, the way which is thought to be the healthful way of eating today will perhaps be the scorn of tomorrow's experts. But isn't this same thing true in politics, international relations, and world affairs? New and diverse interpreters rise to tell us that yesterday's meat is today's poison. Frankly, it is rather hard to be sure of anything like this unless we hold to the Word of God, which changes not, as our standard. Evidently, many of the founding fathers of our nation believed in the providence of God. For it is reported that George Washington said, after Braddock's defeat, I quote, "By the all-powerful dispensation of Providence, I have been preserved beyond all human probability or expectation, for I had 4 bullets through my coat, and 2 horses were shot under me, and death was leveling my companions on every side of me." End of quote. That was a report of George Washington, often referred to as the father of our country. And speaking of statesmen and their belief that God controlled the affairs of men, I want to give you a reported description of a certain man and tell you some of the things he went through in growing up, and see if you can guess who it was. See if you can tell who this description fits. He was born January 17th, 1706 in Boston, Massachusetts, and was either the 15th or 16th of 17 children in this family. His father was a tallow chandler and soap boiler who had immigrated to America. Consequently, it was a poor family indeed from which he came. He spent much of his childhood growing up in a city slum. He had a police record while yet a boy for leading his gang to use the stones which were intended to build a house. Instead, they used them to build a swimming wharf. He had 2 short terms of school and began working for his father when he was 10. But to make a long story short, he ran away from home when he was 17. When he arrived in the other city, he was so poor, he had sold some of his books for food money, that he dared spend only 3 pennies for bread. He was soaked through and shivering and feverish. He was dirty. He had no clean clothes. He had bad eyesight and no glasses. He was ugly, friendless, and jobless. He had no place to sleep and no past he dared go back to. To add to all this, his future didn't look very promising. Now, would you like to know who this man was? None other than Benjamin Franklin, often referred to as the father of American printing. Those of you who are familiar with American history may remember that he arrived in Philadelphia with $1.25. You may also recall that it was he, Benjamin Franklin, who discovered that lightning and electricity are identical. He invented the lightning rod, also bifocal spectacles, and a harmonica. He founded the first circulating library in the United States, also an academy, which became the University of Pennsylvania. Furthermore, he helped make treaties for the American colonies, represented certain of them before the great men of his day, such as kings, rulers, etc. But here is one principal thing I want to tell you about Benjamin Franklin. He believed God to be the supreme ruler of the universe, for it is reported when the Constitutional Convention had come to an impasse and prayers were proposed, he declared, I quote, "The longer I live, the more convincing proof I see of this truth, that God governs in all the affairs of men," end of quote. That statement, friend, is attributed to Benjamin Franklin. How much more should we be convinced that God governs and rules in the affairs of life? How willingly we should submit ourselves to Him, to God, and trust His power and wisdom. Now, back to some of those things which are uncertain. For one thing, riches are a poor substitute for security. Listen to these words of Jesus. "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Luke 12:20-21. Do you see how uncertain riches are? In reality, life is uncertain. We have no promise of tomorrow. This rich man used the word "I" and "my" often. He didn't seem to recognize God as part of his prosperity. Why is it that he didn't consider the hungry child, the blind man, or the beggar? Did he not know that he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth to the Lord? Did he not realize that it takes more than grapes, figs, olive oil, or even the finest of wheat to feed the soul? The soul needs to be fed on truth and righteousness from the Word of God. This rich man may have walked across his fields while the sun was shining, the wheat about ready to harvest, the bees humming in the flowers at his feet, the lark singing above his head, and the breeze turning the silver lining of the olive leaves to the light. But did he not realize the solemn verdict of God, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee"? When we have learned that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things he possesseth, when we have had compassion for those less privileged than we, when we have refused to confuse his spirit with the body, when we have seen that God is the giver of all good, then we come to possess divine wealth and an anchor for our souls, which is secure and steadfast. That is when we have surrendered our all to our Maker. Listen to this scripture. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." James 4:14-15. Let us pray. Our Father, bless the word as it goes out over the air. May it find place in good and honest hearts. Awaken the one who may be nearest eternity, and may they make all necessary preparations for their long home going. And thine shall be the praise through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, friends, for a few moments of your time. If we have been a blessing to you, we'd be glad to hear from you. Or if we may be a help in some spiritual way, be sure to let us know. You may write us by addressing your letter to The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma.
He gave his life to make me whole. He shed his blood for all. To heal the body, save the soul, then come for mercy.
Keep you and a very cheerful goodbye.